Blog Talk Radio.
What you working for? Going hard? A big house? A new car? Lead your life like a Hollywood star? But do you know who you are? Or do you know what your purpose on earth is? All the materials you worship is worthless. It ain't about money, cars, and clothes, and everything that glitter ain't gold.
Hustle, hustle, hustle.
Hustle, hustle, hustle.
What are you hustling for?
Good question.
You say it's all about the money and not perfection of your soul. In the gutter where your mind at? Ooh, I bet the devil like that. We let him have his fun, but now we got him on the run. Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jack.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jack.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack.
Sublime with the punchline. Spiritual warrior. Live from the front line. My third eye is precise as a bird's eye. Everything looks small. That's what I call fly. Before your past words gotta decode it, I'm lyrical with minds. Witness the explosion. The mouthpiece carries 16 rounds. Every 16 bars, another MC down. Do what I wanna do, the architect told me to. Destroy all you sellouts and who you sold it to. I came to bring the game, freedom and justice. Ain't no equality, ain't nobody hot as me. The techniques and bias to my survival. Lyrically, I can go my life unrivaled. Microphone checker, the diabolic one is the oppressor. But in this case, we the aggressors. I'm on a higher echelon, enlightenment. The sun is absorbed by my melanin. Black Jaguars, we the best, gotta represent. Devils hate to see a black man with intelligence. Praise to Allah, I deliver the message with poetic justice, rhythm and eloquence. He left his message with those who believe it happened in the divine rhyme scheme of things. They won't beef, but I'm a vegetarian. One nation under God, soldier, Samaritan. Now everybody raise your right hand and say, permission to fall in to Muhammad right.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jack.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jack.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, and I greet all of you in the chat room, as well as those of you who have joined us via telephone, and our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum. And also to our distinguished host and our panelists, I would like to also send you the greeting of Assalamu Alaikum. And I would like to present to you our host for tonight, Student Minister James Muhammad, my beloved brother, friend, and teacher who has dedicated a great deal of his life to the teaching, to sharing the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad with all of us, and he does an excellent representation of those teachings. So it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Your overwhelming introduction of me. I pray to Almighty God, Allah, that one day I can at least approximate the accolade that you shower on me whenever you introduce me, but we know all praise is due to Allah. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, there is no God but He, and we thank Him for his presence in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great, great Mahdi, revealed to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he, in turn, revealing it to us all. We thank Allah for him raising up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and through him, shaping and fashioning and forming one who is a critical, critical figure in the resurrection, restoration, and salvation of our people, black people in America, and of course the aboriginal people of the world, but in fact all people, if they would but adhere to the word of God coming through him. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is my great, 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 great pleasure to once again greet all of you in the listening audience with the greeting words of peace, of assalamu alaikum, and we have the honor and privilege once again to be blessed with the presence of our beloved brother and student Western Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is making some serious, serious inroads in our battle for the establishment of peace in a world of conflict. I speak of none other than our beloved brother and student minister, Minister Tony Muhammad. And sister, did you select one of those excerpts that we might play as a foundation?
No, sir, but I can get one on probably and play it before we end our broadcast tonight.
Excellent. What I wanted to do, Brother Minister, was to play some of that excerpt from the video that is located on UpFest, your website.
Uh-huh.
Very, very clear and graphic depiction of what is going on in, on the West Coast, but on all coasts here in America, and your great work under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to stem the tide of violence and to establish peace. Before I bring you on, dear brother, just want to give a scripture as one of the foundational stones of our talk this evening. It's from Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, the 27th verse, and it reads as follows. Therefore, thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vex them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. And what is a savior? A savior is defined as a person who saves or rescues or delivers, a good Samaritan, a conservator, defender, deliverer, friend in need, guardian, hero, liberator, preserver, protector, and salvager. And my brother, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I have to say very humbly that you personify all of those attributes, particularly in your great work to establish peace. So having said that, dear brother, I am greatly honored to present to our listening audience once again our beloved brother, student minister Tony Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother James, and certainly the greetings to those that are listening in the chat room and those that are listening via this telephone. It's always an honor, dear brother, to, you know, stand with one of the ministers, student ministers, you know, and to give to the public and those who are listening, you know, our point of view, our exegesis of scriptures and the time and what must be done, and hope that we can somehow reflect the spirit of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and make a difference in the lives of our people today. Whereas we are at that road, and we're at that crossroad of decision, that we have to make a conscious decision on what the future will look like for black people in America and black people throughout this world. Always honored to be on the phone with you and Sister Queen Aziza. Man, this is, you know, it's always just great. So I'm here at your service and certainly at the service of those who are listening. I'm honored. And definitely praying one day that, you know, we can live up to the great accolades of being a savior and a redeemer, of which I desire to be. So I'm not going to shirk that responsibility. We need to accept it and just step up to the plate with the help of God and do it. So when we return to our Creator, hopefully He will say, well pleased with us, and be pleasing to us, and it will be pleasing to Him, meaning our work. So thank you, and I'm ready to answer any questions or go in whatever direction you deem necessary.
All praise is due to Allah. Very, very, very humbly and sincerely stated, dear brother. And for those of us who are patrons of the Final Call newspaper, and I'm sure there are many in the listening audience, you can see blazoned on the front page of the paper this week's headlining article, A Growing Movement, Peace Riders Promote Way to Unity and Harmony. And then, of course, there are several pictures in the course of the article. And, well, Brother Minister, what I'd like to do is to allow you whatever time you'd like to take to put us on board, put us up to date, put us on the same page with exactly what you're doing. I must add that this movement is headed up by our brother, and it is having a profound effect in Chicago, but nationally, I would say, under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But I want to give the floor, the time, the microphone to you, beloved, to enlighten us and the listening audience.
Yes, sir. Well, first, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is His messenger. And certainly, I'm thankful to Almighty God, Allah, for intervening in our affairs through that mighty one, Master Farad Muhammad, whom we believe to be God in person. Man, how indebted we are that He would stand up for us, a messenger, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man of whom I believe our people, because of the works of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those who follow him, are doing such a great job in making His great commission known. That man is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And to the man who helped to save my spiritual, mental, and physical life, that man, yes, who is to me, he is the heavyweight champion, the undisputed heavyweight champion of truth, freedom, justice, and equality. That man who speaks for the oppressed those who have no voice at the table of the decision makers. That man is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, dear brother James, and to the listening audience, let me tell you, man, you know, all of what I'm doing started last year when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a man who at that time was 79 years old, who's now 80. He was a man who saw fit. A lot of leaders in this world will tell others what to do. A lot of leaders will point. A lot of leaders will move you in one direction or another. But here's a man at 79 years old, got up from his couch, got up from any chair or desk, and led the Nation of Islam, the male members, into the streets. He did it.
That's right.
Just me sitting back watching this man lead us to the streets and show us how to redeem a people, how to go and confront the conditions of our people. And I was blessed to be invited by him to Chicago around the third time that he took the brothers into the street. He brought several of us in to be a witness. And when I witnessed this man going into one of the worst areas of Chicago, and we went into such an area of degradation, such an area of ill repute, to see the conditions of black people coming out of broken homes, coming from under piles of rubbish, I saw the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan embrace this woman who many probably would run from. I saw him well-dressed, well-decorated. I saw some of the securities, you know, sometimes not wanting the minister to get as close, and he admonished them. He said, "No, brother, let me embrace my sister." And he pulled this woman in who you could smell the stench from this woman 3 to 4 feet away, but he did not care. He embraced this woman and pulled her in tight, and all you could do was hear her do was cry and tremble. And she was telling the minister of the tremendous physical pain that she was in, and I saw him lay hand on her in the area where she was in pain, and all I could do is cry, you know, and just watch and say, "Oh, my God, if I could just touch the hem of that man's garment," meaning his understanding, his love, his commitment to the people that is at the bottom. I know of a lot of big-time leaders and athletes and entertainers, and I've never seen them go to the worst of our people. And he made that woman feel so special that she admitted that the pain that she was having was gone. And all I could hear her say to Minister Farrakhan, "You remind me of Jesus." Oh, man, it was over for me.
Come on, Brother Minister.
And I watched how he said to the security, "I'm shaking everybody's hand on this block, brother." And people lined up. He was not in no hurry. You couldn't rush him off. And I watched the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan attempt to shake every hand of every person. He didn't just shake their hand, Brother James, into the audience. He shook their hand and he granted them beingness. He looked them in the eye. He made sure they made a connection to him. I said, "Man, I'm writing this down," saying, "Oh, my God, that's how we have to be." So inspired by that, when I came back to Los Angeles and we, of course, were going to the streets, you know, of course, I tried to be like the minister. And when we went into the streets of Los Angeles, which is nothing new to us because that's where I hang most of the time, but in the manner that the minister showed us was even on another level.
Yes, sir.
And I saw the people embracing the FOI. I saw the people running out of their homes. We went to an area affectionately known as the jungle, and they had not seen the brothers line up like soldiers marching into the jungles, and we chanting, you know, "We love black people." You know, we chanting, we respect the black woman. No nation rise any higher than this woman. We chanting Farrakhan, you know. And people running out of their homes, bringing their sons, and we saw other community leaders seeing what we was doing. And it happened so fast that people wanted to get involved. And so as a result, brother, one day after coming home from having a session of auditing, I'm riding in my car. And these bikers zoomed past my car, and I'm watching them in formation, and a thought came to my mind. I'm like, whoa, that's the cavalry.
Yes, sir.
You see, the FOI represented the foot soldier. The cavalry are those men who travel in either vehicles or, in the old days, they were horsemen. And they had a different kind of attitude. And I said to myself, wow, I would love to approach the bikers to get them involved in this whole peace movement. And, of course, if those of you who have the Final Call newspaper, hopefully you do, and you've read the article and read my words, when I went to ask the bikers through a brother in the mosque, Brother Omar, I did not know that the bikers in and of themselves had an attitude of gang banging. Because I did not know that Harleys, which are called cruisers, did not ride with sports bikers. And when I went to ask them to join in, and I saw that there was division even amongst them, I immediately, when I went and asked, these guys looked at me and said, "Minister, with all due respect, we don't ride with no sports bikes." And I said to myself, oh, my God, I got to start right here. And I begged Allah, I said, what would the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say and do at this moment? And all I did was I took the Million Man March as an example to them. I said, brother, I follow a man, and many of you are very well acquainted with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I said, brother, and in 1995, when he asked a million men to come to D.C., do you know there were many who told him that he couldn't do that? Do you know that there were Christians who said Christians wouldn't come, Methodists wouldn't come, Baptists wouldn't come? I said, but on that day, brother, they all came, and he expanded his breast, and that day inspired men all over the country. And I said, you mean to tell me we got an opportunity to do that now, and you all don't want to do it? I said, I tell you what, if I learned to ride a bike, to ride a motorcycle, would you all help me to unite Los Angeles? And they went off. What? You're going to learn to ride? I said, absolutely. If that'll get you to ride, because here's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who did not ask us to do something he wouldn't do. So I couldn't ask these brothers to do something, even though I had never ridden a bike in my life. I was so determined to learn to ride, to prove to these brothers that I'll come into their area of comfort, even though I have never ridden, and risk my own life to attempt to ride a bike if you would ride with me on a bigger cause of peace. And, man, that went out through the biking community. These cats started tweeting and texting. And I was blessed. I learned to ride a motorcycle in a week, 2 weeks max. And from that, Brother James, the United in Peace movement started. And the first time we went out with 60 to 70 bikers. And I said to the bikers, because many of them were worried, I said to them that the FOI has already cleared the way. The brothers had already went into the project and began to clear the way and letting the people know the bikers was coming, but they didn't tell them I was on a bike. And I said to the bikers, I said, brothers, watch what Almighty God do for you all in terms of how the people start viewing bikers. I said, they're gonna love you for this. So when we rode into Watts, and when we went into that area and we went on those bikes and we were revving those motors, people could not believe that they were seeing Harleys and sports bikes coming to the community, people running out of their apartments, running toward the bikes. And when the bikers stopped at a particular area that the FOI had staged for us, I took off my helmet, and the gang members went crazy. Mm, and many crazy. Of the bikers got off their bikes, and young people started getting on their bikes, and the bikers started saying, "Well, bikers don't bang, brother. We want to unite in peace." And from there, the next ride, the word went out. The next ride, we had 150 bikes. The third ride, we had 300 bikes. The fourth ride, we had over 400 bikes. And it just kept growing. More organizations came on board. Every gang intervention program in L.A. came in up under the banner United in Peace. Several clergy came in under the banner of peace. Mm. The radio station started hearing about it. And then one day we rode by, it was about 500 bikers, and we rode by a group called Lowriders. And when the lowriders saw us, one guy in a lowrider chased me down and said, "Minister Tony, can we get involved?" And the biker said, "No, not them." I said, "Once again," I said, "No, sir, brother, anything on wheels can ride with us."
Yes, sir.
And by the seventh ride, the lowrider showed up with over 250 cars. And when they came in the atmosphere, you could feel the tension between the bikers, the lowriders. And then Allah blessed me because every time before we ride, you know, we give a pep session. We give a what we're going to do, what the purpose of the ride. And when I recited in the Quran, that Allah, God, made us into tribes and families that we may know one another. Because in the knowing of one another, it keeps us from despising each other. So all of us needed something bigger than our own little personal causes to bring us together for a bigger cause.
Mm.
See? And then I read another verse in the Quran to the brothers that you were on the brink of a pit of destruction, and it was there when God unites your heart at a time you don't want them united. And I said, "Brother, with a cause like 25,000 being murdered, don't you all think we need a peace movement? Don't you think the lowriders need to get to know the bikers and the bikers need to get to know the lowriders?" I said, "If I could stand on this platform with a Christian, you all could stand together." The brothers start cheering. We rolled, Brother James, and it from there it exploded. Because when the radio stations and the media heard about it, now we're at our eighth ride. And on the eighth ride, we had nearly 800 bikers, 300 cars. And then the ride that's in the Final Call newspaper, it exploded again to over 2,000 bikers.
Okay.
And we probably had about 780 cars. And we had little brothers on mini bikes. And, oh, my God, brother, it was just beautiful. And the beautiful part of it is we had black bikers, white bikers, Asian bikers, Latino bikers, you see. We had waiting at the park over 10,000 people because the last ride we rode in the name of Trayvon, and we rode in the name of to 25,000 because the people in Los Angeles really didn't get involved in the whole no justice, no peace hype because they wore out on that.
Yes, sir.
Los Angeles didn't really trip, you know, as much on the whole Zimmerman piece because we're dealing with the black and brown Zimmermans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why be mad every 10 years when some Caucasian do something to us when we're doing it to each other all day? Every day, where is the outrage? Where is the Al Sharpton? Where are the Jesse Jacksons? Where is the NAACP? Where is the SCLC? See?
Come on, brother.
And that's what the people loved about this movement. We didn't do it, you know, off of the back or off of the image of that young, beautiful brother, Trayvon Martin. We were already out there trying to save lives in the name of these black mothers who don't know who their son and daughter killers are.
80% of the murders in L.A. unsolved. They don't even know who the murderer is. They're not even looking for the murderers. And many of the mothers were so touched that, minister, somebody is embracing us. Thank you for embracing us in the name of Trayvon and his mother and his family. And to see white people, because every time we do these rides and walks, Brother James and to the listener, we have the crime stat that crime dropped in every city by 15 to 20%. And the last peace ride we had, which was the largest one ever in our inner city in America, there was no crime in a 3-mile radius in the area of Los Angeles where we had the United in Peace Day. It had, that stat had not been applicable in 30 years. In 30 years, there's been some crime in this area every day. But that day, it was no crime. At least 7 to 8 different gang sets laid their rags down that day.
Yes, sir.
It's a phenomenal thing, you know. And now the movement is starting, and now other cities are asking us to bring it to them. Celebrities are coming on board, endorsed by Stevie Wonder. Now we've been endorsed by Brother Steve Harvey. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was in tears. He was so touched to see that his student minister behind him was a sea of bikers and car enthusiasts and young people. But to see the thousands lined up along the sidewalk, throwing their fists in the air, throwing the peace sign in the air, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, brother, all I could see was a sea of healing. And when we got to the park, the Million Man March pledge was being given from the minister. We played the video clipping of him giving the Million Man March pledge, and all you could hear was a roar of 10,000 people giving the pledge, black, white, every color giving that Million Man March pledge. It blew us away, man. The tears couldn't stop falling from the people's eyes. There was not one incident. You saw gang members of warring tribes feeding each other. It was, brother, we've never seen nothing of this magnitude. And on that day, the biker came to me and said, minister, we got to take this across the country. And that's when we announced that we could feel the pain of other cities. Chicago, we feel your pain. And to hear 10,000 people repeating after me, New York, we feel your pain. Jersey, we feel your pain. D.C., we feel your pain. Atlanta, we feel your pain. Miami, Tampa. I mean, it was just beautiful, you know. And then we just said, let us be united in peace. And a brother from Saudi Arabia, who family owned Chevron, came up to the stage and said, brother, we would like to finance your riding across country, picking up bikers along the way, going into many cities on our way to Chicago. We're going to fly over 1,500 mothers from L.A. who lost their children to gang violence into Chicago to meet those mothers and families who've lost their children, to unite all of their hearts.
Yes, sir.
And do this in the hood in front of the shooters and turn around and look at them, see, and ask them to get involved in this peace movement. We've had a civil rights movement. We had a black power movement. Now we need our own peace movement, because it ain't the white man killing us in white skin. Is his mindset that's in the head of black skin. So he lives in us.
Yes, sir.
So we got to kill the white supremacist mindset in our people. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said to me, brother, you are destroying the apathy that's set in the people in Los Angeles. And when you destroy there, brother, it's going to be an effect across this country. He said, oh, brother, you will get 100,000 following you into Chicago. He said, and the diversity of it. He said, what I love about what you're doing, brother, is universal. It's attracting people of every color, every ethnicity, all religions following you in a theme called United in Peace. See, well, what are we doing? If
Come
we're on, establishing
brother.
Peace, we are establishing Islam. See?
Mm.
And so that's what is happening. Cities are already calling and petitioning that we come into their cities. And so certainly Tampa is one of the cities we have already put on our map to come through. So, inshallah, that's a big undertaking. And that's where we are. We have these rides on the fourth Sunday of every month. So the next ride is on the 25th. October is going to be our biggest ride, where we're hoping that Trayvon's mother come, where we'll be inviting her. I'll be with her tomorrow. And we're going to invite her to embrace the thousands here who've lost their children to gang violence. And the day of the event on a jumbotron, we was running pictures of hundreds of youth who died and been murdered in Los Angeles. You know, and when the people saw that and they were hearing the theme song, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? Oh, brother, it was just beautiful, you know, seeing these pictures of these beautiful human beings whose lives were snuffed out too soon. So it's a movement starting, and that's why the minister said that Trayvon Martin's murder was a nail in the coffin of white supremacy, brother.
Yes, sir.
And that nail that's being driven now is sparking this kind of movement. So we got to have a peace movement that moves through the urban cities of America. And with the help of God and the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it's going to happen.
All praise is due to Allah.
There
Beautiful,
you have.
Brother Minister. Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
All
yes,
praise
sir.
Is due to Allah. As you know, Brother Minister, this is the type of forum wherein we like to get the audience involved to express themselves on this subject matter or whatever is on their heart to express, and also question our panelists and just to give greater insight as to what is happening with the Nation of Islam, with its progressive representatives, and overall the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's great effort to establish unity and harmony, of course, first and foremost, with black people, but the minister's passion, his heart, is to see a united human family. And as you share with us how this movement developed and the progress it's making and the ground that it is achieving, Brother Minister, I can't help that it comes to mind in that parable of the kingdom of God, where it states that it was likened unto a mustard seed, and the mustard seed was planted in the earth and grew into a tree, and the tree grew to encompass the entire earth, and all people found refuge under its branches. This is wonderful, and I believe in my heart it is prophetic. So I'm going to go now, if you don't mind, Brother Minister.
Sure, absolutely, please.
To Sister Queen Aziza, is there anyone on the phone in queue or online who may want to address our beloved brother and or ask a question?
Well, I tell you, we're having some technical difficulties because the lines are jammed from what I understand. I've been emailing with Blog Talk. We have an overload of people on the phone, so we may be able to get some callers in, but I'm not sure. But we have some questions. We have a lot of questions out of the chat room. And Tawana wants to know, Student Minister Tony, what did you do to inspire the most resistant bikers to join the Peace Riders? I need to know because I have a brother that needs to do something.
Well,
yes,
number one was, you know, we have a lesson that says, you know, we must learn to speak the people's language. You know, so riding a bike, riding a motorcycle or riding in a lowrider. Those brothers love and they're very endeared to those vehicles, and it means a lot to them, and they have respect. They have their own little area of communications and how they communicate. So when I said to the bikers, I tell you what, I'm in my 50s. I've never ridden a bike in my life, and plus, I'm pretty well known by the help of Allah in this street, so people know of me. When I said to them, if I learned to ride a bike, would you all consider it? And that's what broke the ice. You going to do what we do? You going to ride a bike? You know, most people will say, ain't no way in the heck I'll get on a bike. I used to say that myself. But when I saw them, and when I knew, I saw what I saw, I knew the effect that this would have, but I did not know I was going to have to learn to ride a bike to get them to roll with me. And when I did that, that's what broke the ice. Because a quote-unquote iconic person like myself, what? You're going to ride with the bikers? You know, and bikers through law enforcement and through some black people are not seen in a very positive eye. Mm. They get associated with all kind of crimes and wild parties and whatnot, and they may very well do that. But see, when you know, when you following a wise man who knows how to take a man who don't know his purpose and put him on purpose, see, Jesus could see Peter and saw Peter one on his purpose and put him on purpose. Jesus could see a man fishing and say, I can make you a fisher of men. See? And that's what Allah blessed me to do, a semblance of that. And so when I got on that bike, and when the word went out, and when we rode with 60, 70 bikers, when I first rode, we videotaped it, put it on the social media, other clubs saw it, couldn't believe it, and it just opened up a whole Pandora's box of bikers. And that's how I think I was able to reach many of the bikers, because, again, they don't trust a lot of people. They're in their own world. And Allah blessed me to penetrate that world with truth and with the spirit of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, excellent. Sir. Okay. I'm going to try to take this one on the phone. Area code 323. Can you hear us? Area code 323, your mic is live. Going once, going twice.
Jimmy?
Okay, maybe they
didn't. Hello?
Uh-oh, what they?
Yeah,
okay, well, like I'm so long. Wait a minute, let me go back and make it live again.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. Okay, I guess they went out.
Okay, Assalamu alaikum, are you there? Huh. Well, these phones are acting strange. Okay, we have another question from Jeremy, who is in L.A. He said, what is being done in L.A. to get gang members to put their guns down and stop killing one another? Do you speak to them about the crime and the violence?
Yeah. Well, you know, brother, of course we do. You know, because the scripture says this of them. You know, how would they know except they have a teacher?
Yes, sir.
And how would they have a teacher unless someone is sent to them? Jesus also makes a parable of a colt and a donkey, or a colt and an ass tied together. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan broke down the meaning of that for us and for me. He said, brother, the colt represents the most intelligent black people. You know, those of us who have gone to get an education. He said the donkey or the ass represents the masses, the poor, the downtrodden, who are the burden bearers of this society. He said, but they're both are tied to the mindset of white supremacy. But both need each other. And so, yes, when we go, into the gang areas, of which we are very, very well known, brother, many of them want peace. But because their particular gang set has done injury and been injurious to others, it's difficult for them to go and broker peace when they have been the peace breaker. So it takes people like myself, and it takes guidance from a man like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who we don't have the stain of the blood on the people of our hand, but the scriptures tell us to go and warn the wicked.
That's right.
Of their wicked ways, lest God will require their blood at our hand. So just in going and warning them, you know, and when you go, brother, you cannot go thinking that you're better. You have to go with an attitude that touched that young brother, because he already is thinking bad of himself. So I go and I sit up on the tree if they sitting on the tree. I sit down on the sidewalk if they sitting on the sidewalk. They may be smoking weed or smoking dope. I don't care about none of that. I go right up under them and just start talking to them, telling them about the plan to destroy them, the plan to incarcerate them, you see? And many of them start listening, and as a result of that, then they start sharing who their enemies are. And once you win their trust, then I ask them, brother, can I go to your so-called enemy? And I always use that word so-called, see, because
yes,
I'm not going to let them fix themselves on another black man being their enemy. But I use the word so-called. Can I go to your so-called enemy? Will you all trust me to go let them know that there's a group of you who would like to come to the table? And once they give me that permission, brother, then we go to the other side and begin to find the more sane minds of those within the gangs who have influence, and we bring them to the table in neutral location, and then the process of peace starts. And it
yes,
works,
sir.
Brother. Allah has blessed me. I have been able to bring over 190 gang factions together over the last 3 years. And it's still growing. Many of the bikers, many of the lowriders were all in different gangs. 3,000 of them are now united. So it's already beginning to happen. And it don't happen overnight. You see what I'm saying? The best way of learning is repetition and repetition. So therefore, if we keep saying peace, we don't say we're going to stop the violence, we're going to stop the killing. We don't use those words anymore because our youth are in revolt. See? So you can't tell them what you coming to stop. So when we show up, man, what you here for? We here to start something. That messed them up. Wait a minute. Most people coming telling us to stop it. No, brother. We ain't coming to stop nothing. We coming to start something. What you coming to start? Peace. See, they've already worked the way on how to fight against stopping the killing, but they have not worked in their mind, how do I stop starting peace?
Come on, beloved.
See?
Come on, sir.
So we don't give power to stop. We give power to start. We're going to start something because every 30 years, a movement starts in Black America. See? We're at the end of another 30-year period. We're 20 years since the race riots here that brought the gang members together. See? And so that's what we're here to do. We're 30 years from the conscious movement that started in rap music when rappers was rapping about positive things, about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, about their history. 30 years ago, we were wearing the African medallion. We were wearing the continent of Africa around our chest. See? We were beginning to consciously awaken. But through gangster rap, the enemy was able to somewhat put us back to sleep. So when you go and you drop this kind of science to them, and the beautiful thing about what I love about the brothers in the street, they can read your behind. They can tell if you some phony. And just by following the guidance of the minister, brother, and truly loving my people, Allah has blessed me to be successful. So, yes, brother, we're talking to them, and it's working, you know.
Okay.
And we pray to package this thing and take it to every urban city in America. And, in fact, as I'm hearing, since we've had these peace rides, there's already a lot of peace movements going on in the city that none of us even knew the other one was doing. And as a result of this article, and as a result of me doing a webcast, you know, that's beginning to come out. So thank you for your question, you know, but yeah, they want to be saved. They want out. They just don't know how to get themselves out of this gang mentality and this atmosphere of hostility that they've helped to create. It takes neutral people or people who operate on a higher spiritual value and wisdom. And that's what I try to represent to them, a man who knows how to bring peace.
Yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah.
Okay,
so do you want to take some more questions, or do
Absolutely.
You want to expound on something else?
No, let's take questions.
All right, well, okay, we have one from Kai, if I'm, hope I'm pronouncing your name right. What is the nation doing for single mothers with sons? Do we have to join to get help?
Excellent question. Come on,
yeah. Dear sister, no, you know, you can't join something that God has already declared you to be a part of. You know, the nation of Islam is your nation, you know. And when Master Farad Muhammad, the founder of the nation of Islam, came, he already came with you and your son and your children in mind. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us to think of the whole of our people, not for the few who are in the mosque, you know. And so, yes, you know, I think you should come around the mosque before you put your son or your daughter into the hands of any people or group. You need to come and learn some about that group, about its morals, about its folkways, its mores, its tenets, so that you will be comfortable. Because once your children start learning and they're looking at you and they're learning something, they're looking at you violate what they learn, you know, then it may start problems in the home. So joining the nation, don't worry about joining something. You are already a member of the nation. The white man didn't allow you to join his country. He forced you in it. You know, but there is no compulsion, no man. You know, but I think it would be beautiful to bring your son and yourself around and learn more about the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as it is being given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know. But again, but you come into that atmosphere and you make sure you're comfortable and you're comfortable with the men in that atmosphere, that you don't mind those men, you know, training and teaching your son and or your daughter.
Excellent answer, Brother Minister.
Thank you. Any other questions or any comments, Brother
yes.
James, you want to make? It would be, you know.
Well, I have one in mind that, again, I definitely want to give way to the listening audience. You know, I know they're feeling your spirit, as am I, and I'm sure Sister Queen Aziza, and I want them to get your mind. What's on your mind, dear brother? And with that spirit and that mindset, I want you to inoculate the people that are listening.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All praises due to Allah. So we have any more questions, please allow them to be posed to our minister.
Okay, we have a question from Brother Mike. I feel that if we could get our economy together, there would be a lot less killing. How can we make jobs for ourselves with little to no resources?
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to look at that in proper context, dear brother. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if you go into this recent Final Call newspaper, what we are putting in the Final Call newspaper is, in a written form, is his lecture that he did this past Savior's Day.
Yes.
You know, and where the minister talked about our powerful purchasing power. So we're not short of resources. We got a lot of money as a people. We're just wasteful with it. And we don't set up businesses properly to service our people in the goods that we consume. And so what has to happen is 2, 3, 5, or 6 of us. You know, no one person probably can pull off it off by himself. But we're taught from the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. If 3 of us like-minded, if 5 of us that are like-minded, if it's 7, 8, or 10 of us that are like-minded, and we see goods and services that our people need, why don't we pool our resources together? See? Write up a contract.
Yes.
Establish a great brotherhood and sisterhood with each other and go into business. Let's look at where our people are spending the most money. And while brothers like yourself or others are pooling their resources in our new movement that we have going, we have to also ask our people to come out of the apathy, you know, of spending money with one another and start a movement, not only a peace movement, but an economic movement in conjunction with that peace movement, that we now start making concerted efforts to buy black. But every black business we support has to support the movement.
Come on, brother minister.
To me, no Asians should be selling us hair. If we're going to buy that stuff, we buy more hair than anybody. So it should be somebody black manufacturing that and selling that to us. Our hair care products, we should be manufacturing that and distributing that. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said there can't be no economic freedom without the land being at the base of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he asked us in the 3-year economic program, you know, he asked us if we could give a nickel a day or 25 cents to 35 cents a week. See? And if 40 million more black people, and out of that 40 million black people, if you take out of that the working classes, let's say 15 million, if 15 million of us, and he's given those calculations, were to give out just nickels and dimes to a united cause, brother, you know how powerful that would make us? See?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to start off small and let it grow big. No ethnic group who came here came into economic power overnight. The Koreans came in here and systematically worked quietly, pool their resources together. They had a house. They went from a house to 2 houses, from 2 houses to a block, from a block now to 2 city blocks. Now they got a whole area in L.A. they call Koreatown, Chinatown. See? But they worked it. Now they got their own bank, their own airline. Here we are giving up land. Here we are giving up our jobs and going to get a job in corporate America when we should have been retaining our land and opening our own business. So get the economic blueprint lecture that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given
yes,
us.
Sir.
And it is some awesome divine instructions in that, dear brother. And we can get started tomorrow pooling our resources together while at the same time we scientifically study where our people spend money. Stop going into business emotionally. We need to go into business scientifically and mathematically. I watched a lot of people go into business emotionally, and they set up a business that ain't even connected to the people.
And come
so
on,
that's a whole science in and of itself, you see. And so, yes, dear brother, it would help to curtail the violence if we could put many of our brothers to work and bring them off the streets. But the white man is not going to do it, you know. We can't do it 50 years ago. They're about to have another march on Washington celebrating the 50-year anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement. But, hell, they still begging for the same thing, justice and jobs. The white man ain't going to give it to us.
Go ahead,
brother. Follow the Koreans. Let's follow the Chinese. Let's follow the Jews. You don't see them talking about we shall overcome. They've already overcame. So we're missing the boat. And so that's what I would suggest, your brother. Get the economic blueprint of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in that book, Message to the Black Man, There's an economic component in that book that I think will help you and others, you know, to organize in your mind ways that we can establish businesses for our own people.
Excellent.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Tony. I'm sorry. I need to make an announcement. I know there are some of you who are on the phone lines who are trying to either get in or maybe press 1 on your dial pad, but in communication with Blog Talk, because I can no longer see your numbers. So for those of you who have questions for Student Minister Tony, please enter them in the chat room or go to my Yahoo or Google chat, which is GidjaMuhammad@gmail.com or GRMuhammad@yahoo. Y'all know this because I see y'all in there. But I want the listening audience who are listening by phones, if you cannot get into the phone lines, and if you're trying to, Blog Talk is working on it. I can no longer see your number, so if you have a question, I can't see it at this moment, but we are working to fix it. But please, our Blog Talk chat room is open. Google and Yahoo are open as well. So please ask your questions there. And Brother Tony, we do have some more questions. We have a question from Sister Suzetta. She wants to know, how do you suggest we go about introducing the teachings into the public school curriculum? The education they are receiving now is killing them.
Yeah. Well, I taught high school for about 3 years, and you know, dear sister, that's going to really, really be hard. You know, we really need our own school. We don't need to integrate, you know, our truth with those lies. But to me, one of the best ways to do it, I taught history. And what I would do in that history is, you know, I put up a lot of sayings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I had 4 walls in my room, and each wall represented a saying of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I had on one wall a sign called, "We must first be brothers and sisters." And then I had pictures of black people in united efforts or in a unity type of activity. See? Then I had on one wall that knowledge is power. And under the pictures under that wall represented the great thinkers and the great movers and shakers. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, you see, Martin Luther King. I had Nat Turner. I had W.E.B. Du Bois. I had people on the wall that they could see, you see. Then, you know, I had on one wall that the black man is the original man. And then I had pictures of ancient Egypt. I had pictures of Kemet. I had pictures of the Moors, you know, under those walls. And so, therefore, I was integrating some of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad into my classroom, and then I would make the classroom creed a part of your test. It would be a bonus if you could tell me what the classroom creed. All you had to do was read the wall. See, when you would come in my room, you couldn't say hello to me, or you couldn't speak in English by greeting me. You either had to say assalamu alaikum, shalom, abargani, hotep, you know. So I integrated it in, and so therefore the school could not charge me with teaching Islam, but I was teaching African culture, you know. And then I taught a class called critical mass thinking, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would have in my room every morning, they would have to stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag. Well, one morning I didn't stand up, and the students asked me why. Well, it gave me an opportunity to teach on the flag. And I taught on what the flag means, the 7 red stripes, the 6 white stripes, the 50 stars and a field of blue. Well, one of the students got upset, told the principal. The principal said I couldn't do that. So the next day, I went out and bought a flag of every country in the world and put every flag of the country and even the Nation of Islam flag. So every morning I stood up, I turned toward the nation's flag. After a while, most of the students start turning toward the same flag. So I don't know. You know, you got to be creative. And there may be some of you who are able to go to your school board, to the superintendents, and to show them the value of the education, of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But in my humble opinion, we have to start our own MUIs. Don't worry about integrating our teachers and asking them to accept that. That's just like asking them to give us justice. That's like asking them to give us jobs. Don't ask. Start our own. It's the best thing to do. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. Let's get our own. It's better teaching your children under a tree of truth than in a classroom with mixed with truth and falsehood and in a curriculum and an atmosphere where you spend most of the time correcting the children's attitudes and their bad habits. So, you know, but there are slick ways to do it, but the best way is to establish our own Muhammad University of Islam.
Excellent.
Yes, sir. Beautiful answer, Brother Tony.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
and
we have.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, if I may, you know.
Please.
Brother Minister, Sister Aziza, as well as the listening audience, you know, that mindset wherein we want to force and compel our former slave masters to accept us and to respect us and to integrate what we deem is our priority in their agenda, that it's time out for that. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for many, many, many years posted on the back page of the Muhammad Speaks, now called the Final Call, what the Muslims want. And contrary to the popular belief about us that we wanted to immediately separate, we offered the society an opportunity. We stated that we wanted freedom, and we stated we wanted equality, and we stated we wanted justice as points number 1, 2, and 3. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that if we could achieve these things in the current political and economic and social framework of America, then point number 4 would not necessarily have to happen. However, it has been demonstrated that after appealing, after waiting and praying and marching and protesting over many, many decades to achieve these things, we find now that inarguably, irrefutably, point number 4 is absolutely necessary. And that point states that we want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. Further, we believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Why do we believe that? Since, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad continues to write, we cannot get along with them, meaning the broader society of Caucasians, in peace and equality after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced. We believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies now our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. And I just wanted to to state that, Brother Minister, in support of the answer that you so eloquently gave to that question.
Thank you, Brother. Beautiful.
And, you know, if you gentlemen don't mind, I want to say something to Sister Suzetta, because, you know, I've long worked with juveniles for a very long time now, and I understand her in a different light. And I just want to share with her, in the program that I created, Circle of Completion, you have to include the parents, because we as parents cannot depend on a public or private institution of learning to educate our children. Even if they're going to MUI, we as parents have a duty to educate our children beyond the academia that is offered in school. So when it comes to those histories and those cultures that our children are not going to necessarily be privy to in school, and when it comes to the spirituality teaching, that is to be done in the home anyway. So
yes,
you have to educate beyond academics in order for them to be successful. Because if they don't have any morals, if they don't have a rod of discipline that they go by and nothing to convict them, then they're not going to get the academics anyway.
See.
And that's why Brother Tony said you spend most of the time issuing a point of correction in an institution that is supposed to be about learning. So I would suggest to you, Sister Suzetta, that if you're fortunate enough to have a parents' meeting, then you offer them a gentle curriculum of the teachings and tell them this is to help your child, you know, develop the self-pride that they need and the motivation that they need to succeed, you know, academically, and ask the parents to participate, and they will, you know, become thirsty for more, and then you can issue out more. Because sometimes we don't have a choice. Sometimes the public school is the only thing that you have, but you can make it work for you. You don't offer the curriculum in the school, but you offer the curriculum to the child and to the parents of the child. And I just wanted to share that with
Beautiful,
her.
Beautiful, sister.
Thank you.
Wonderful, sis. All praise to Allah. Very good.
Thank you. And we have a question from KJ, and he says that I am confused about the NOI. You say black and don't make the Spanish-speaking Africans, Haitians, Puerto Ricans, and others feel welcome. But I heard the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan say that all except whites are a part of the nation. All right, here we go.
Thank you, because what we don't want, you know, we don't want anyone to be offended. But let's take that word black, dear brother. You know, we're taught that black is not a color. Actually, black is the essence from which all color comes from.
That's
it's
right.
Universal. Everything comes out of the triple darkness of space. And so we're not talking about literally black, the color black, because, hell, ain't many of us can say we black if we use it literally. But we're using blackness in a universal way. But in a social climate like we live in today, we have to be able to make you and others comfortable. You know, and so sometimes you're right. We have to be mindful. But we're asking those that are Latino or Narasta or those that are brown or those that are yellow, you know, we all come from that universal color called black. And so it shouldn't be hard for us to to accept the word black. See, now if I use the word African American, to me that's offensive. But black is universal, so I can embrace the universality of blackness. You know, but whatever makes you comfortable, because I do know I have been taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to be careful in L.A. just saying that word black, and it runs your brown brother away who's color conscious. So he did ask me to use the word original, you see, particularly in an area like Los Angeles. So thank you, brother, because you helping us, because we want to evolve, we want to be inclusive. So we should be mindful of that, while at the same time we say black, we should say black and universal. You know, the universality of us as a people, that's black, brown, red, and yellow. And, brother, at some point, it ain't going to even exclude white people.
That's right.
Because point number 12 and what the Muslims want and what we believe said that our God is going to establish a universal government wherein all can live in peace, even Caucasians. See? So, but thank you. Thank you for that, because I do try to use the word people of color or universal because we don't want to be offensive. And curtailing our language to make you feel comfortable is worth it because we are one people.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir. Okay. We have a question from Sister Antoinette. And Antoinette kindly reminded me that I ignored her question, and she know I ignored her question. So, dear sister, she said a couple weeks ago, I sincerely apologize. I will admit that I was very uncomfortable with asking your question, but evidently it's something that you need to know, so I'm going to take this time to ask our beloved brother ministers to address you with an answer. Okay, she says, why do people get put out of the mosque for fornication? Doesn't that allow them to fornicate more rather than being redirected immediately if they could stay in?
Well, at that time, dear sister, let me say this to you. That don't mean that that will happen for every people. You know, I've been put out of the mosque 9 times. You know, and I tell you, it helped me to reflect on what I was doing because I did not want to be out of that circle. And at that time, the Nation of Islam, we didn't have all of the tools. We didn't have all of the therapies. We was not as evolved as we are becoming,
that's
where
right.
We could deal with people who violated the law. And so, therefore, instead of being like we were in the days of Moses, see, some of the laws that we have broken, and we were in the days of Moses, we would have been put to physical death.
That's right.
And
that's
so,
right.
To keep that dis-ease, because that is a dis-ease in and of itself, and if there is not some kind of penalty placed on those who are wrongdoers, then it makes wrongdoing fair seeming. It has to be some kind of penalty assessed to those who violate the law, lest the law don't become nothing. Now we got a lawless society. And so, for those who are in, who may be still sinning, don't mean that those of us who are in are not sinning, but when a sinner get caught, it makes the rest of us reflect on our sin in hope that we will get our sin under control, that I may not be revealed tomorrow. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that we are learning therapies, we are learning techniques to where in the future those who violate some of our laws will not be put out, but they will be put in. They will be put into an area and have to go deal with certain therapies that can help them overcome you know, their lower appetite or whatever it was that caused them to break that law, you know. But you have to take a person who have a disease or a disease, and you have to take them out of the main population and isolate them so that their disease won't be caught or be catching by others, you know. So, dear sister, that was the reason why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did it at that time, because society had not degenerated into what it is today. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is like the Jesus now, is finding better ways, better tools that we can use. And this is why auditing is being brought to the forefront, that now we have auditors, people who now have a mental therapy that we can use to help brothers and sisters overcome some of their demons. So I would say to you, in the very near future, a lot of people won't be put out of the nation, but they will be handed over and have to go through some kind of therapy that will help them. So I hope I made sense to you. And Brother James, if there's anything you can add to that, please.
Thank you, Brother Minister.
Yes, because
what
she said
I'd
she
like
doesn't
to do,
understand.
I like that question. I like that question.
Well, it's an excellent question.
Well, I mean, let me say this, though. If you got children, dear sister, and if one of your children did something in front of others, and if you didn't correct that child in front of the other children will never, you know, it's almost like having a lawless household. You have to chastise one in order to correct the other two or three. You have to do some form of correction, you know. So at that time, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as a form of correction, was to isolate that person. They were cavey in their ways, you know, but not that they was put out and not get checked on, but many would check on them to see how they were doing. So if you have to isolate. One bad apple will spoil a whole barrel if you don't remove that apple out and isolate it from the other apples. So likewise with any society, if you don't take some of those who are the worst in society and isolate them so that they won't contaminate everybody with that kind of spirit or that kind of habit, then, sister, you'll have a rotten group, and then you really will have hell on your hands.
That's right. But, Brother Minister, what I would like to do is to recommend the book that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan authored in 2012 entitled The Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success. And what this book contains is a wonderfully spiritual base and justification and proper enforcement of the restrictive laws of Islam. And certainly, if you would avail yourself of it, dear sister, I am sure that you would get a very clear understanding of why the restrictive law, the benefit of the restrictive law, and ultimately we would understand if we read the book that while it is called restrictive, it is actually freeing. You'll understand it better if you get the book. It is called The Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's true. Thank you. That's real.
Thank you, Brother Minister.
Okay. Let me say this to her because she says she don't understand. Okay. Sister Antoinette, it's like this. The wager of sin is death. And when you sin so much, let's say you go into heaven and God judges you and he kicks you out because you haven't been what you're supposed to be. It's the same thing. The wager of sin is death. You are removed from the essence of God if you are willfully sinning. So it's the same process. It's to teach the same lesson that you cannot serve two masters, that you're either going to be obedient to God or either you're going to succumb to Satan. But you can't have it both ways. That's what it means. That's what the purpose of it is, and that's what it means. That's what that rule is established for, because we are all striving to be upright. And so in order to keep the ones who are striving encouraged, we have to provide an environment that is conducive for that. So that is the purpose of that, sister. And like Brother James said, I recommend, whether you're Muslim or not, you can get the book, The Restrictive Laws of Success, by the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. But thank you, Antoinette, and we're going to have to move on to another question.
Let me say this real quick, sister, because you said something. If you don't restrict people's wicked ways, just like what's happening in America today, wickedness now is getting privileges. You see, now the law is turning. It's almost like lawlessness is the law and not righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so now if you give a person, a man who likes to lay down with another man, now the Supreme Court has made a law to protect what God detests. Well, who's next? A murderer?
Come on.
Well, a murderer may say he may get a whole bunch of murderers, and now we got a murderer movement. Why I can't murder? I should be able to murder. If a man can lay down with a man and a woman can lay down with a woman, why can't I murder? Why can't I rob? See, after a while, hell, wickedness is going to rule. So you have to catch it and try to carve it out. But the beautiful thing is there's something that can be done about it. You have to read and study the effects of it. And when a righteous person knows the effect of their wicked ways, it helps them to pull it in. And that's why they're offering that book to you, sister. And I believe you'll get a better understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tony.
Okay.
And we have a question from Zap2. That's his name. He goes by Zap2. Brother Tony, he says, what is your goal with the Peace Riders? Are they going to join the nation? He said he's 17. He just wants to know.
Well, you know, no. The goal is to establish peace. And the goal is to help to bring down crime and to give those warring factions in the urban cities some bigger purposes, you see. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said to me, Brother, don't you worry about trying to get all black people to join the nation. But the teachings of the nation, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the teaching that he's given to us is like the wind. It'll influence everybody. See? So to already have 5,000 people riding with me for peace, well, peace is Islam. They're just not up under the structure called Nation of Islam. Every black, brown, red, and yellow person on this planet is already a Muslim by nature.
Yes.
See? And this is why peace is appealing. This is why people can see peace, because it's their nature. They want peace. They want to get out of chaos. They want to have friendship in all walks of life. They just didn't know how. So now this movement is bringing us back to our natural selves. And so let them decide, even if they decide to go to the Christian pastors who are with me. Hell, if they all want to be a monk, I would rather see a brother a Buddhist and not a murderer.
That's right.
If that's what he chooses to do. So it is a movement of peace, brother. And yes, there will be some, and it already is some, that are joining the nation because the nation is appealing to them. But that's not my ultimate aim. My ultimate aim is allow God to use me in whatever way he sees fit. But my purpose for doing this, brother, is to establish peace in the urban cities of America like there's never been before. That's the ultimate aim.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah.
Okay.
Right, the time with us is running away, so let's keep it moving.
Okay, well, we have a question from Brother William. Brother William says, will the nation rebuild the businesses that the messenger built?
Thank you, dear brother. Yeah, yes, sir. At some point, brother, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad inspired many of the members. If you think back to prior to 1975, it was many of the members of the Nation of Islam who did what he asked. They pulled their resources together.
That's right.
And so a lot of people think that the businesses was owned by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad of the Nation, and that's not necessarily so. Its members own many of those businesses, and those businesses supported the national program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, although there were businesses that the Nation in and of itself owned as well. And that's what we are about to witness, I believe, now. Many of our members are beginning to pool their resources together and following the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, yes, sir, dear brother, we're on a fast track of making that happen now. And if you want to participate in that, you can go online to the Nation of Islam website and log into the 3-year economic program and give towards that end, because I believe and know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has earned the trust of us that we should put our resources and our money behind ideas that he has. And from that, you will begin to see the businesses of the Nation of Islam come back to the forefront. We're on a fast track of making that happen as we speak.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, certainly.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. I thought the phone had gone dead. Okay. Brother Joshua has a question. He says, do the scholars of the Nation of Islam offer business plans to help the nation? Can they encourage us to refrain from reckless spending and offer us doable business plans to help ourselves?
Well, first of all, I don't know of any scholars in the nation that is doing that at this moment. So to answer that question, I don't have the knowledge of that. So I don't know if there's such a group that's giving plans. What I do know is that there are some successful business people in the nation. And I think what you're asking is a good opportunity for us to probably seek out those in the nation who are very good in business and ask them to come together and give us the best kind of plan to help others to establish businesses. But I don't know of a scholarly group that's doing something like that in the Nation of Islam. Do you, Brother James, do you know of any group?
No, sir, Brother Minister. I don't know of any specific group, but I'd like to make a statement as regards the brother's expressed concern, if you don't mind, Brother Minister.
Sure, please.
I want to say that, you know, Allah says in the Quran, O messenger, deliver the message, and if thou do it not, thou hast not delivered the message, but if thou do it, I will protect you from men. Now, why do I recite that verse? It is to highlight the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's duty and obligation to us who are his followers and to all who are listening to what he has to say. His duty is not to build businesses. His duty is not necessarily an economic thrust. His duty is to deliver the message, and in the message is instruction and inspiration and guidance to produce businesses, to produce economics. And the qualification is not being a member of the Nation of Islam proper as such, because the fact that we have an X or have Muhammad behind our name does not synonymously mean that we are qualified to engage in business. There are many, many of you, and probably the brother that asked the question, who is more qualified in establishing business. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message is, those of you who are of like mind and of like desire and, of course, of like qualification, you come together and unite your nickels, dimes, and dollars and your resources, and you produce the businesses. You're quite capable, and if there is a lack or slack or a slowness of businesses being manifested in the nation, it's not because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not advocating such and inspiring such. It is because those that are listening to him want him to do it all. And see, this is the problem we have. We want our leaders to do it all. No, his duty is to deliver the message, and it's a very simple formula. It doesn't have a great deal of complexity. If a business costs $20 to initiate, you have 10, and someone else who wants to establish the same kind of business has 10, well, then you two come together and put your $10 together to make 20 and start the business. You need knowledge. You need qualification. You need to know how. You need business acumen. You definitely need that. However, what we need to overcome is our distrust of one another, out of disrespect of one another, and the lack of love between one another. And this is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's duty, to deliver a message to inspire those missing elements that impede and impair our ability to come together on the simple or with the simple formula of being of like mind and of like desire and uniting and pooling our resources. So, find someone who thinks like you, dear brother, and whatever business you want to get in, seek him out and take your resources and unite them with his and go in and establish the business. And since you're a member of the Nation of Islam, like our brother minister said, that all black people are members of the Nation of Islam, and in reality, all of the human family are members, if you understand the depth of it. But go on and find it. And when you go on and find him, and when you and he or you and she or whatever establishes the business, it will be the Nation of Islam establishing it. Thank you, Brother Beautiful. Minister, for allowing
thank
me to
you.
Say that.
Oh, no. Thank you. I love it.
All praises due to Allah. Okay, we have a question from Tamara. She says, in your opinion, can one get married 90 days after a divorce? Sister, why would you want to? But go ahead.
I knew you would say that, Sister Gideon.
Let me just say this. I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, I don't know the scope of coming out of one marriage into another, that kind of rushing. But, I mean, I'm just going to suffice it to say this very, very simply. I wouldn't recommend rushing out of one marriage into another one, you know, not knowing the footsteps that one took in the failed marriage, you know. So, no, I just wouldn't recommend it. I'm not saying that it can't be done, but it's not something I would recommend. And I'm going to leave that at that.
Yeah. Okay.
Sister Queen.
Well, Brother Minister, I would just suggest to the sister, you know, I don't understand why that's something that you would want to consider, if it's something that you want to consider, but I would suggest that you take the time to own your errors that may have occurred in the marriage to make the marriage, you know, dissolve or whatever. But take your time, because the one thing we don't want to do, we don't want to be repetitive in our negative behavior, nor do we want to be constantly getting married. We want to have successful marriages in the nation, not just getting married, but be successful in the process of getting married. So I would suggest, Sister Dad, you take as much time as you need to heal, especially if you have children. You know, they need to make an adjustment with the other parent being out of the home, and then slowly as you get to know someone else and as you feel comfortable, slowly introduce your children, if there are any, into that addition, that new relationship. But most of all, give yourself, and if you have children, like I said, and your children, time to heal before you proceed in another relationship. And just trust and believe that Allah is sufficient for you. Your sister been single 10 years. I know. Trust me.
Yeah, because, okay. You know, you're right. It's a lot to that. It's just, and if we can't answer that in a few minutes, it will actually take me sitting down, counseling you, learning more about you, more about what happened in your prior relationship, and then giving you guidance. So just trying to give you guidance out of, should I do something in 90 days? I got to know a little bit more about you and your circumstances before trying to give some kind of guidance. And Sister Aziza, I mean, the way you laid it out was just so beautiful.
Thank you.
Dear sister, I would seek counseling from others, otherwise people, and which I think you just got from Sister Queen. So thank you.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Well, Brother Tony, I have a very special message for you. This is from Raymond. He doesn't want to give his last name. And he simply says, thank you, Brother Tony, for inspiration and hope. I want to share with you how you saved my life. Mm. I will soon visit the mosque in Los Angeles, and I pray to shake your hand and thank you personally. And that was all he said, and he's no longer online. But any response to Brother Raymond?
Oh, praise it.
Yeah, I mean, what can I say? I thank Allah, again, for using me to touch that brother in any kind of way. I'm just reminded. Allah says it is not you who will slay them or who will convert them. It will be me doing it at your hands. And I thank Allah that I have sense enough to submit myself to a process that I can be used as an extension of the arm of God, the leg of God, the spirit of God, the hand of God, the touch of God. You know, and I tell you, it makes me feel good, and it feeds my spirit and my energy to make me want to get out there even more and touch millions and thousands of more. So, brother, you probably did more for me in thanking me than I could have ever done for you.
Yes, sir. That was such a touching message, and I hate that he got off the line, but he came on and left that, and he went. Okay. We have one more question. I think it's Otis, O-T-E-S. I hope I'm saying it right. He said, when is the next peace ride, and when are you coming to the state of Ohio, Brother Tony?
Yeah. Well, we have our peace rides in Los Angeles the fourth Sunday of every month. Our goal is to come across the country starting the end of June of next year, 2014. Cleveland and Cincinnati are two cities that is on our list to come to. It's probably going to take us 6 weeks to go across the country and hit the 14 to 15 cities. So I would say to you, dear brother, look for us to be touching down in Ohio sometime toward the end or middle of July. And once this thing take on this national run, we've been endorsed by Brother Steve Harvey. And Brother Steve Harvey will be announcing the national ride on his radio station
And then the closer it gets to us coming across the country, you'll be hearing him in probably some of your national networks, NBC, CBS. All of them will be announcing when this ride will be arriving. We'll have a website for you to go to register. But again, we have our monthly rides in Los Angeles the fourth Sunday of every month. In fact, they're getting so large that the city, you know, can't find places for us to even have these rides because it backs up traffic so much that it actually shut down the city, you know. Well, we love it because if it shut down the city, it makes it hard for crime to travel, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
So what a blessing. So look for us to come out more at the end of this year on what cities and the exact dates will be discussed by the first of next year. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. Wow.
And Sister's Ride, too, Sister Queen Azizia.
Oh, you know I'm ready. I'm a Harley girl.
Let me tell you,
I got my level two. I'm gonna tell everybody. I got my. I'm going to order my spurs, Brother James. Correcting me, spurs for my boots with my crescent moon and star. I'm putting my helmet on. I'm having me a leather MGT headpiece made so it can fly in the wind when I'm riding.
Come on.
And yes. And I'm also getting a leather Imperial with the slits on the side to ride.
Trust and believe that. That's LA style.
Tony, he don't know nothing about that. He don't know nothing
about that. He don't know nothing. I love it. Well, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said he wanted to come and ride. He said, brother, don't they got those bikes with the three wheels? And then he said, well, can't you put me on a bucket on the side like the Germans? He said, brother, I want to experience that ride.
We got
a couple of MGT that rides out here now. I mean, man, they got the most beautiful bikes you want to see.
I told Brother James, that black and gold is kicking. You just don't know. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, sister, listen. You know how I feel about that, but, you know, I'm
stop being old-fashioned. Stop being old-fashioned.
No. It's my concern.
I tell you what, you can ride with me.
For your safety, that's all. That's all. But all praise is due to Allah. And then you put me in my SOB bag.
Well, listen, I want Brother Tony to address this question before we run out of time, because Sister Pamela just put this question up.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's just me and my spirit, and I don't know why Allah made me that way, but this sister is in pain. She says that I have three sons. Two of them are incarcerated, with serving over 25 years. I have one 17-year-old left, and he is on his way. I need some help. Okay, Sister Pamela, if you would, type in for me what city you're in. Brother Tony or Brother James, anybody want to address her?
Go ahead, Brother Minister.
Well, you know, dear sister, Allah lays not, or God lays not, a burden on anyone beyond your ability to handle it. No one of good mind want their children to be incarcerated. But you know, sometimes Allah have a way when our children won't do or follow the dictates and the rules that the parents try to lay down. You know, and as a single parent, mother trying to raise boys, doing the best you can without any help or aid from their father. Sometimes it takes God to step in. And it may not look pretty, but sometimes God have a way of arresting us, and many of us will find God in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Many of us will find brotherhood in prison. So prison may not be a bad thing. It may be where they find the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad,
right,
or some kind of teaching that will straighten out their life. See? So we let's pray for that, that, you know, that at least those that are already there, that they find something. But the young brother who's not in there, you have to do all you can to find mentoring programs, the mosque, you know, fraternity, somebody who can spend time with your son and with that boy to act as a mentor to him, lest the street will accept him. So,
that's right.
And that's why I'm glad Sister Aziza is trying to get where you're from and what city, so we can tell you directly how to come in contact with the FOI. But if there's not a Nation of Islam in your city, find a black college or find some black mentoring group there in your city and take your boy. Don't send him. You take him.
That's right.
And I think, you know, you will find that in these cities there is some help, you know. But don't worry, you know. Don't allow yourself to worry so much that you worry yourself sick or you worry your son right into the hands or the atmosphere or the environment of that which you fear. You see, I don't know if you are a member in the Nation of Islam, but you seek refuge in God from anxiety, from grief.
That's right.
Just seek refuge in God and then make an agreement that the street ain't going to get this boy, and do the best you can by guiding him to those mentoring groups that hopefully he will find more sanity with them than he find insanity in the street. That would be my advice. And Sister Queen Aziza, you can give her my information, and I'll help her no matter what city she's in. I'll do my best to help her to find a group or somebody that could help her with that son that's not incarcerated. But I also would like to know how to get in touch with her sons that are incarcerated. We should be sending them letters. We can write them. We could send them books and tapes of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And they could possibly be the best role model from prison for her son.
Yes.
So make sure she gets all my information, and we'll help her.
That's right.
Okay. And
that's
I want
right.
to tell you, Pamela, she's in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I happen to have, by the grace of Allah, a nephew. His name is Dalton Chevalier. He lives in Westlake, and he is a juvenile probation officer, but he also has a mentoring program.
Wow.
And
mm-hmm.
if you get your son there, I'll pay for it myself. So you, if you, I gave you the information. If you can get him there, don't worry about the fee. I got you. Just get him there, and we'll work from there.
And we want, to follow that. We want to know the progression of that. I want to know.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
We want to stay in touch with her because I want her to really do what you've asked for you to want to do.
Right.
That.
And also,
also
if you will put
him.
The. Right, and we want to get the prison units where they are, and we have one of our prison ministers reach out to them.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Sister. Oh, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
And you just made my day. Just made my day. Thank you.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Well, we got 8 minutes. And the other questions we gonna bypass. And Brother Tony, tell us again about the Peace Ride and how they can get in touch with you, and how those who are in, and I'm calling them out, Long Beach, y'all come on, all of y'all. I want my Kempos in Richmond, Hercules, San Pablo, all of y'all, South Stone Acres, Muriel Drive, y'all come on up here, Normandy, y'all come on up here, what else, Florence, y'all come on, and some other places up and down, I probably forgot, but... how can they join, Brother Tony? And we know you say it's the fourth Sunday of the month that you all ride?
Yeah, the fourth Sunday of every month is when we have our peace ride. And for those who would like to get involved, they can go right to our website, which is upfest.org. And all of the instructions, the registration, where the next rides are going to take place. At the end of every ride, we have a day of edutainment where we educate and entertain the people in the same day. It is the most beautiful thing you want to see. We have all kind of programs there, gang intervention programs, mentoring programs for boys as well as girls. We have programs for those children or adults who want to get off drugs. We have literacy programs for those who can't read. We have job opportunities that set up tents to show brothers and sisters the best areas for getting jobs and how to get a job. So it's a big thing. It's not just riding for peace, but it's riding to establish peace. So just go to the website, upfest.org, upfest.org. Or if you want to email me, it's mintonyla27@aol.com. That's mintonyla27@aol.com. Or if you want to tweet me, you can tweet me at bruh, B-R-O, Tony Muhammad. And again, brothers and sisters, if you're in a major urban city in America and would like for the peace ride to come to your area, you know, write me or tweet me and let me know. Because even if it's not one of the cities we're going to do on the route, we can fly in and show you how to establish what we're doing in any of your cities. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wants me to go on tour to various cities across America, and I would love to come to some of your city and to share this experience, you know, and to walk the streets. I would love to come to your city to get to know some of the people in the streets. So look for us to have this tour scheduling started. But if you like for me, I mean, Brother James in Tampa has already solidified their place. So
that's right.
You know, I can't go on that date, but we got to get Tampa rolling. But if there's any city, anybody out there, brothers and sisters, don't hesitate. I don't care if you're in a rural country town and you got two gang members. Well, hell, we need to unite them.
That's right.
You know, so it matters not to me. So please reach out for me. I'll do whatever I can to help and guide you. And to Brother James and Sister Aziza, I thank Allah for the both of you so much, man. I'm so glad we family. I'm so glad we brothers and sisters on this spiritual level, man. I'm telling you, man, it's awesome to know that I have a sister like you, Queen Aziza, and a brother like you, Brother James. I mean, we've been together a long time.
Yes,
and
sir.
Brother, I'm telling you, man, your telephone, radio, ministry, I listen to you the way you teach and the way you give instructions from the biblical and the Quranic and your remembrance of the teachings, brother. I'm telling you, man, you right where Allah wants you, brother. You are helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan touch hundreds of people, you know, and so are you, Sister Queen Aziza.
Don't think you're
not having an effect on the people. You are. You know, the beautiful part is Allah ain't allowing you to see the effect. He's just allowing you to be the effect. So may
all
Allah continue to God and bless you all. Thank you all for having me on.
Thank you, Brother Minister.
Thank you, Brother Tony. As always, it's always an honor and a pleasure. And all I can say is wow. Wow.
That's
to
right.
Your success with the Peace Riders. All I can say is wow.
Yeah, well, can you imagine a 5-mile long ride? But when we do this thing next year, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said, brother, I want you to see a line of bikers 50 to 100 miles long.
Mm.
Yes, sir. And I want people to go to YouTube because UpFest is also on YouTube. and you can see some of the beautiful riders, and you can see Student Minister Tony in his black vest and his orange bow tie.
Yeah, and you can see a lot of the, you can see a lot of the entertainment on YouTube. All you got to do is just go and just type in United in Peace or UpFest, and many is a lot of footage in that social media on these rides.
Mm. Right, and you got a lot of news coverage as well. So all praises due to Allah, and may Allah continue to bless you, Brother Tony, in that endeavor, because that is amazing.
Thank you, family. I appreciate you all, and may Allah bless you.
Yes, sir. You as well. Brother Minister, if you would, before we depart, please extend our love and greetings to Reverend Alfredi. Tell him I miss him, and I'd love to see his smiling face, hopefully
sir.
In October. Inshallah.
Yes, sir. Inshallah, I know he's going to be in Tuskegee for the Day of Atonement. And I know he's going to be coming down to that Tampa area, too, for an event IES is giving. So thank you, Brother James.
Yes, sir.
Praise all right. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay.
Beautiful.
Well, before we go, I guess we can do the announcement. Join us tomorrow night with our new host, Brother Ronnie O'Neill III, as he will host Young, Gifted, and Black tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central. On Sunday, join us with Brother Vernon Muhammad at 6:30 p.m. Central with No Romance Without Finance. Of course, he's talking about economic development. And on Monday, we will be joined with our brother Kareem Muhammad out of St. Louis, Missouri at 8 p.m. Monday on Conscious Black Nation. And on Tuesday, we're going to have another rebroadcast, but we're going to still uplift our dear brother Jihad Muhammad in prayer and wish him a speedy recovery. So we're waiting on him to come back, and he happens to be on the line, and he thinks I don't know it, but I do. So much love to you, Brother Jahad. We miss you, and we love you much, and thank you for listening.
Yes,
and
yes,
so we are awaiting your return, but of course he has a beautiful, extensive library of great shows that he's done. So we're never without a good show from Brother Jahad, whether it's live or otherwise. And on Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Season Friends as they host our hip-hop and comedy show. And on Thursday, yours truly will be back 8 p.m. Central with another topic. I don't know what it's going to be yet. And, of course, we'll be right back here next Friday with Student Minister James Muhammad put on the new Man Our Lives study group. And any closing remarks, Student Minister James?
Always, my closing remarks are those of gratitude for those who, of course, our panelists, and in particular tonight, Student Minister Tony Muhammad, but to our listening audience and participating audience who endure the technical difficulties that sometimes are imposed on us, I don't know, either intentionally or unintentionally. However, you endure with us, you stay with us, and you return week after week. I cannot thank Allah enough for you all. We love you, and we pray to Allah that you will continue to be with us and be with him more specifically and more particularly, and his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Tune in tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 6 o'clock Central Time for the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on NOI.org.
Yes,
all
sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and please support the Fruit of Islam with the Final Call newspaper. Technology is easier. It's easy to read it online, but please support the efforts of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Fruit of Islam by purchasing a Final Call newspaper from one of my from one of our beloved brothers that you may see on the street. That is our own business that we created and, well, that the minister created and developed. And, of course, it supports our nation, and we appreciate
That's
your
it.
Support. So please support the FOI and show them some love out there. And thank you all for listening. All of you in the chat room, thank you all so very much. All of you that I now see are on the phone. Thank you for standing by. Hey, Brother Leon, we love you. Yes, he's here. He's here. And so many others. All my friends down in West Palm, they mad at me. But I love you all. And let me see who else. Oh, God, we got Washington, D.C. in the house. I like to acknowledge people from different places. We got Phoenix
ma'am.
In the house. Oh, my goodness. And I don't know what area code. Oh, 770 is also Atlanta. So also
okay.
Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate you because you all keep coming back and other people, new people come. We really appreciate you. This is for you. And so without you, our purpose would be null and void. So I thank Allah for each and every one of you and for all your love and support
so
very much. I do not take it for granted. I love you all so much. So all praises due to Allah for each and every one of you, and may Allah continue to bless each and every one of you in all of your endeavors. All right, Brother James, that's it for me.
That's it for us. May Allah continue to bless you all. We love you. Assalamu alaikum.
One nation, one love. Good
That's
night,
right.
y'all.
One nation, one love.